the sermon this morning is a very simple one. It's two words. It's Jacob's conversion. Jacob's conversion. I'm going to read just a few verses from Genesis 32 where we can read about his conversion. And there's so much to learn from this for all of us. And Genesis 32, and we hear from verses 24. The word of God says, "And Jacob was left alone, and the man wrestled with him until the breaking of the day. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he touched his hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Then he said, 'Let me go, for the day is broken.' But Jacob said, 'I will not let you go unless you bless me.' And he said to him, 'What is your name?' And he said, 'Jacob.' And then he said, 'Your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and with men and have prevailed.' Then Jacob asked him, 'Please tell me your name.' But he said, 'Why is it that you ask my name?' And there he blessed him. So Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, saying, 'For I have seen God face to face, and yet my life has been delivered.'" Well, we're going to turn to the Lord in prayer. And if you're not praying just for yourself, please pray with me for me, because I have the sobering task of preaching. And the Bible says that those who preach and teach will face a stricter judgment. And the gospel must be preached. And it must be preached in the church. And I think there's been a neglect in the churches all over the place regarding the preaching of the gospel. Because if you're not warned of the consequences of failing to repent and believe in the Son of God, and I don't warn you as a minister, your blood will be on my hands. That's a scary thing, isn't it? For some things you could think, I wish I'd never even begun preaching. But warn me what must, but also entreat, because here this morning is a house of God where salvation can be found. And that's good news. So I am praying, but I'm not just praying out of habit. I'm praying for genuine need for the Lord's help. Heavenly Father, we as the people of God, we sit before the throne of God. And we thank you. We have a great high priest whose name is love, whose name is Jesus Christ. And may he grant unction. In all our getting, may we get unction to hear the voice of God in the way that Jacob heard the voice of God unexpectedly. And as a result of this, was converted. In Jesus' name we beg of you. Amen. Well, the first heading I've got for us this morning is actually from verse, from verse 24. The first heading is, "And Jacob was left alone." And Jacob was left alone. It's a very powerful verse, that, isn't it? We live in a time and a generation, there are so many distractions. Mobile phones, tablets, iPads, internet, TV, 24-hour football, sports channels, music. There's more music available now than in the history of humanity. And so there's so many things that can distract people. But God has not changed. And if God sets his eye to save you, he knows how to deal with you specifically to bring you into his kingdom. And God knew how to deal with Jacob. Jacob was a busy man. Jacob was a wealthy man. And as two children reminded this morning, how come he was married to two women when the Bible doesn't permit that? It's a good question. But before he was converted, he ended up with two wives. One called Leah and one called Rachel, and he actually loved one more than the other. That's why we disagree with the Muslim teaching of marrying four wives. It's just human nature that you know, you're going to love some more than the others. But that was never the plan from the beginning. The Bible plan is what? The Bible's plan is God only permits one man to marry one woman. Anything else other than that is false, it's sin. The whole idea of a man marrying another man is an abomination in the sight of God. But God can convert people. A transgender woman can be converted. Do you believe that? God knows how to convert sinners. He is the master at it. And it says, and Jacob was left alone. It's a scary thing to be left alone. He's now schemed all of his way. Remember what Jacob's name was. He was the heel catcher. When he was born, he tried to grab his brother back into the womb so he could get out first, and they called him Jacob. It wasn't a glamorous name. It means heel catcher. He was a deceiver. He was a cheat. He was a twister. And he was always trying to manipulate his way forward. Could never really trust him. He would do whatever he needed to do to get one over other people. And now he's got a problem because he's left Uncle Laban. If you read earlier chapters, they make a covenant that he can't go back. So now he's, to quote a proverb, all of his bridges were burned. He couldn't go backwards. He only had to go forwards. But there's a big problem of going forwards. What is it? It's not the Hivites, it's not the Jebusites, it's just one man. And it's not only one man, it's his older brother, Esau. And what happens is, the news comes to him that Esau is coming to meet him. And how many people has he got with him? He's got all these hundreds of people with him coming to meet Jacob. The last time Jacob saw Esau, the reality was Esau wanted to kill Jacob. And now he's coming back with all these sons and two wives, and he's a very wealthy man. God had taken care of him financially. But listen to me this morning. Whatever money you accumulate in this world, it will count for nothing before God when you die. The reality is King Charles III is probably one of the wealthiest human beings on the planet. The difference is between people like King Charles III is that people like, you know, the guy who founded Microsoft and Amazon. Amazon won't be here in a few years' time. But King Charles and the Windsors' money will still be there. But the fact is, money cannot save you from the judgment of God. He says, and Jacob was left alone. He planned out for all these groups of people ahead of him so that he would find out, and then he could at least have an exit strategy and try and appease Esau. But God is dealing now with this man. And if God is going to convert someone, it's got to be God Almighty that deals with you. It's, you know, I can preach a gospel, but it's got to be the Holy Spirit who pins you down on the carpet and says, submit to me. And that's what the Lord did. Jacob was left alone. But you might think, well, what do you mean he was left alone? Surely he's a believer, because the verses before, Jacob's praying. He must be a true believer. Listen to me now this morning. Praying does not make you born, a sign that you're born again. Muslims pray the whole time. Roman Catholics, they have rosary beads. Sinful man, when he's really desperate, he often does pray. Even people who've been brought up in a Christian background, when the pressure's really on, they don't mind praying. But praying is not a mark that you are in the kingdom of God. And Jacob is praying, you can almost hear him, oh God, Esau's coming, Esau's coming. He's telling the Lord, he's not praying to get to know the Lord, he's praying about his single biggest problem, Esau. What is your single biggest problem this morning? It's obviously not Esau, but it will be something. What is your single biggest problem? Is it that that consumes you? Or is it your relationship and standing before the one true and living God? Because until you come to a point where you acknowledge that were you to stand naked before God Almighty And every one of us will stand naked before God on the day of judgment. Naked we came into this world. Naked we leave. God might cover sinners, you know, with some kind of a garment, you know, but nonetheless they're naked before Him. We will leave this world naked. You may have the most glamorous funeral possible, but you yourself in that coffin is not there. You've already gone ahead and you've met the Lord naked. And so Jacob is left alone. His prayer is not that he may be in a wonderful relationship with the living God. He's actually praying for his problem. His problem is Esau. That's what's consuming his mind. But we're encouraged because secondly, our second heading this morning is Jacob's need. God brought Jacob to a point of need. And that's a work of the Holy Spirit. Because what we find is that something that happens in verse 24, Jacob was left alone and a man wrestled with him until the breaking of day. A man wrestled with him. It's completely unexpected. Conversion is always completely unexpected. It comes when you don't expect it. You might be praying for a son or a daughter this morning. You may be thinking, I'm not seeing any change. That's okay. You won't see change until God breaks in and converts someone. It's not by might nor by power. It's by God's Spirit. God broke into Jacob's life. He wasn't expecting a man to come from who knows where and start wrestling with him. But the first thing is God got him alone. And secondly, the Lord showed him Jacob's need. Conversion is always surprising. Conversion is always unexpected. Conversion is always unplanned. We can't have a committee meeting and announce we've got Ali Yuda and we've got Adam and we've got Eli. They're now on the conversion committee. And they're going to be planning together in the next few weeks how we can see 100 people converted this year. Well, that would just be foolishness, wouldn't it? Without divine intervention in the church in 2024, we have nothing to offer. We cry out to the Lord divinely intervened. No one was there except Jacob. And it says a man wrestled with him until the breaking of the day. There's a mystery here, by the way. You need to know, I've not got all the answers for all that's happening. There's a mystery about Jacob's life. Like there's a mystery about Samson's life. Does anybody here understand everything about Samson? No, he's a mystery man. There's a mystery here, but this man in the Bible, sometimes this man is called a man, like in Genesis. In some places, the Bible records and tells us it was an angel that was wrestling with Jacob. Elsewhere, it tells us that God himself was wrestling with Jacob. So who was it? It was God, it was a man, it was an angel. But the point is, it's the outcome, the fruit of it, that God met with him and wrestled with him all night long. Is anybody here into sports? I know some of you are into boxing and basketball. Some of you like to play a little bit of table tennis and things like that. But let me tell you, one of the most exhausting sports, I'm told, is actually wrestling. Wrestling was an Olympic sport. It's actually used in the Bible in Ephesians 6. It says, for we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. It's one of the most exhausting of all the sports. And in Bible times, in the Olympics, only men would be involved in the Olympics. And two men would wrestle naked with each other, grabbing hold of each other, until one got the other one on the floor. And I'm told from research I've done, it's one of the most exhausting sports. It involves every part of the man's being. And now what we find is how strong-willed Jacob was. Because it says in verse 25, when the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob. So Jacob is giving it a fair go. Some people are so strong-willed, the reality is it's only God who's going to convert them. It's not going to be your little talks. Well, you know, you do really need to really come back to church. And If you don't, it's not looking good. You know, it's got to be God that's got to wrestle with people for them to be converted. Jacob, he needed God to wrestle with him. And wrestle with him all night. And at the end of the night, he's still standing. Which tells us something of the strong-willed nature of Jacob. Do you have a strong-willed child who's rebelling against the gospel? Do you have a strong-willed brother or sister? And you look at them and think, well, they're not like me and my sister. We're quietly following the Lord, but there's going to be no hope for them. If you say that, you don't know the Bible. Because there's hope for anybody to be saved. If Jacob can get saved, anybody can get saved. He's a wealthy man, and God wrestles with him all night long. This man wrestles with him. But guess what? The Lord now shows him his need and his weakness. And this man touches his hip socket and puts it out of joint. Now, what's his problem? He thinks his problem at the moment is not the Lord. He thinks his problem is meeting Esau. And now he's got a limp, most likely for the rest of his life. He's now got to face Esau and he can't even walk. And the Lord is showing him, not by might nor by power, nothing you do is going to save you now, Jacob. If you don't submit to the living God, you are done with. And sometimes the Lord has to do that. Some people, they come to the Lord in a very gentle way, like Lydia. Don't we wish that everyone was like Lydia? She hears Paul preaching, and the word of God says, and the Lord opened Lydia's heart, and she was born again. But God doesn't save just Lydia's, he saves Jacob's. And so the Lord wrestled with him, and now this man touches his hip socket, so Jacob's hip was put out of joint. As he wrestled with him, to get the impression he's still wrestling with a hip out of joint. And then he said, let me go, for the day is broken. So it's the man who's wrestling asking to be let go. And notice what the word of God says, showing Jacob his need. And said this to Jacob. Well, Jacob said to him, I will not let you go unless you bless me. And he said to him, what is your name? And he said, Jacob. And then the man said, your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and with men, and you have prevailed. And then Jacob asked him and said, please tell me your name. But he said, why is it you asked me my name? And there he blessed him. So Jacob called the name of the place Peniel. God brought Jacob to the end of himself, and God won. He's got his hips out of joint, he's got a limp for the rest of his life. But the thing is, God brought him to his senses that what he needed was not to be reconciled with Esau, what he needed was conversion. What's your need this morning? It's not to take the Lord's Supper next week. Your need is conversion. Your need is to fully rely upon the Lord. Your need is to cast everything in your life upon the Lord. You need to be brought alone until you surrender things. Some people think, oh, you know, I'll come to you, Lord, but on my terms, like this rich young ruler. And Jesus put his finger on the one thing that he needed to do. The Lord said, sell all you've got and then follow me. Yeah, sell all you've got. He was a very wealthy man. Jacob was left alone, and the Lord touched him at his point of need. What's holding you back this morning? Maybe it's pride. Maybe you're getting convicted while I'm preaching. You know you've never been converted, and you're realizing, well, I'm going to keep quiet about this, because the preacher will be finished in 10 minutes, and then I'll feel better again. But maybe what you need to do, you need to come home, and you need to say to your wife today, I'm not sure I've ever been converted. And there might be a wrestling in your brain right now saying, don't do that, you'll look stupid in front of your wife. But maybe you need to think, well, what's more important, that you get right with God today, or you continue to live in pride? Jacob was converted. God met with him, God wrestled with him, God changed his name from Jacob, the heel catcher, the twister, and change his name to Israel, the one who is striven with God. Or rather, has God striven with you? If somebody asked you over coffee this morning, are you born again, brother? Are you born again, sister? As you're drinking your coffee, will you suddenly splutter it all out and say, I'm not sure? Because if you really are converted, you'll be able to say, I sure am. My faith is in Jesus Christ. Can you say this morning that your faith is in Jesus Christ? To the children as well, I'm talking to you. Is your faith in Jesus Christ? Or do you say, well, I'm actually at church because my mum brings me in the car? Well, if that's the case, praise God. Because now you're hearing the gospel. And I'm calling you with the orange jumper to come to Christ with the black jacket. Because there's a load of you got black jackets, so it could be anyone. I'm calling you to come to Christ. This is a place of good news. You've come to the house of God this morning. You've not come to listen to man. You've come to listen to God. And God is speaking through the word of God. He changed Jacob's name from Jacob, and he became Israel, because God changes nature. What do we need? We need a new nature. Where does that come from? It comes from the power of the Holy Spirit. But what about the price of that? The price has been paid for you to be saved today. Jesus went to Calvary. He went to the place in Jerusalem 2,000 years ago. A man sent by God, the Son of God. He never committed a sin. He never committed adultery or stole or ever said a wrong word. And he went as the Son of God to that cross. And he was nailed on that cross and became a sin bearer. His blood was dripping on the ground. He had a crown of thorns on his head. And he was dying. He didn't complain, but he looked down and said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Is there bitterness and unforgiveness in anyone today? You've got to lay aside that bitterness and unforgiveness and come to Christ. Naked come to thee for dress. We come naked and say, God, clothe me in the righteousness of Christ. Call upon the name of the Lord. How do you get saved? It's not responding to an altar call. It's calling upon the name of Jesus. And not just calling, oh Lord, save me. But, oh God, I am convicted of my sin. I need you, oh God, to give me a new heart and a new nature like you gave Jacob. I have to be honest, Lord, at the moment, I don't have any desire for you. I'm in church, but really I'm just playing religious games. You need God to give you a new heart. And when God gives you a new heart, people will say, there's something different about you. What's happened? It's because the Holy Spirit has moved in. And he has begun to now lead you with new desires. The old wine used to taste better. But now, there's a change in your appetite and your desires. You want to pray. It's not a prayer, oh God, deliver me from Esau. Oh God, help me with my exams. If that's all you can ever pray, you've never learned to pray. Our prayer is, oh God, I want to know you. I want to know the Bible better. So, lastly, Jacob was converted. His brother, his name, he was a nobody, his brother. His name was Esau. He became the leader of a nation called Edom, which meant red. Red, imagine that. And he wasn't chosen of the Lord to be in the kingdom. We don't find anywhere that God wrestled with Edom. God just left him to himself. And you need to know this morning, you better take seriously this gospel message. Because if you don't take it seriously today, God might leave you to yourself and not allow you to hear the gospel ever again. You know, we live in this world where people say, well, what we really think is important is Charles Darwin. He's not important. He's a promoter of lies. It's God who created the heavens and the earth. Not evolution. We've not evolved from a gorilla. It's just ridiculous. But it gives people a get-off, because if they can believe in that, it means they think they won't face God on the day of judgment. And you mark my words, I'm a preacher of the gospel, and I believe with every ounce of energy in my body that one day every single human being will face this God I'm preaching. You may be thinking, well, you've got to say that. You're getting paid to do it. Listen, I'm not here getting paid to say this. You could put a gun to my head and I would refuse to reject faith in Jesus Christ. And if you're a true believer, you'll be the same. You'd rather go the way of martyrdom in northern Nigeria than deny Jesus Christ. Why? Because he alone has the words of eternal life. So here we are, we're looking at this passage. Jacob was converted. He was left alone, but listen, God brings us to a point of need and brings us alone. And then he saves us. And you're then never alone for all eternity. He says, I will never leave you or forsake you. When I was first converted, I was in London, and I got converted, and God then shook every single thing in my life. I thought, what is happening here? And I began to doubt. I thought, you know, I didn't doubt the Lord, but I thought, maybe I've made the wrong decision. Everything was going well until I got converted. So I can't say to this morning, if you get converted, that your life is going to be wonderful. But in one way it is. Because the Lord will never leave you or forsake you. I remember the pastor I went to meet with, and I said to the pastor, this was in 1990, I said to him, I've come because I want to surrender my life to Jesus Christ. And I used to work for a very well-known company. It's irrelevant who it is for now. But I was doing very well in my job. And every time we'd have quarterly reviews, I was always getting top marks. So the pastor said to me, if you come to the Lord, there might be something in your life that the Lord wants to change. Will you change it? Well, I was thinking about my job and I thought, well, things are going so well. I thought to myself, I can't imagine there'd be anything in my life that God would want to change. All I was getting all the time was just compliments and so forth. So I said to him, yes, of course I've changed whatever needs to be changed. And I had no idea that one of the first things that needs to be changed in my life was the Lord need to wrestle with me because my career had become an idol. All of my identity was all based on my career. Oh, what do you do? Oh, I'll tell you what I do. And my career was an idol. And so the first thing the Lord did when I got converted, he began to shake my idol. And at first I began to think, well, what's happening? What's happening? The Lord was now beginning to sanctify me. So there might be a lot of things that the Lord wants to change in your life. But don't let that hold you back from coming to Christ today. Don't let it hold you back from coming to Christ today. Why do I say today? Because tomorrow might be too late. You won't be able to rely on the fact that you went to a Methodist church back in Nigeria. And I'm not saying anybody did or whatever, I'm just saying. You won't be able to rely on that. Salvation is based on putting our faith in Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Let's be still before the Lord for a moment and give you a chance to individually respond to the sermon. Father in heaven, we thank you that Jacob was converted and he was able to confess that I've seen God face to face, yet my life has been delivered. We thank you for his penial, and we pray that this morning will be a penial for somebody here. We know that we're justified by grace, we can't save ourselves, but we can call upon you to be saved. So that there could be peace restored between us and God. Give us a fresh evangelistic zeal to get out of this chapel and to be telling others to come and hear the gospel. They may be saved. Deliver us, Lord, from disappointments where we've invited people in the past and people have not come. Give us a boldness to tell relatives who are kind of semi-religious, but there's nothing converted about them, to tell them straightforwardly, you are not a Christian. I'm sorry to offend you, but you are not a Christian. Give us boldness, we pray. And Father, we give you thanks for Jacob's conversion. And may it remain long in our memory. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.